And I'm very happy now to welcome back to the show Rulan Tangen. She's a choreographer, dancer. She's the artistic director of Dancing Earth. And that is an indigenous contemporary dance ensemble. And they're doing a new production, which is premiering at the Lensic here in Santa Fe on September 28th and 29th. It's called Walking at the Edge of Water. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's good to be back.
So you're doing this and all kinds of things focusing on water, which I think is a terrific thing to do here in the middle of the desert.
You know, it's actually been a theme that's been we've been called to by mostly Native grandmothers, but also some other elders, but not just in desert areas. There's actually huge things going on with water in all parts, even in the eastern woodlands up in Ontario, Canada. This was actually inspired by some grandmothers who started to walk at the edge of the Great Lakes, the entire circumference of the Great Lakes, in order to call attention to the need to respect the waters and remember their sacred origins.
Indigenous grandmothers walked the entire circumference of the Great Lakes.
Yes, they did it over an eight-year period, concentrating in the springtime, because that's when the weather was. And while they were doing that, they were carrying water in copper buckets. So it's a huge feat of strength. And I was told this story by an Anishinaabe woman at a performance that we did up in Indiana. She said, "You know, the next piece you need to do needs to be about this story." And then the next thing I knew, I was in Canada at an Indigenous Women's Symposium, and I was sitting next to Josephine Mandowin. She is the grandmother who started it, and she said she had been at a water conference, and she was hearing all these things, and she felt like, oh, what can I do? I'm just a little grandmother. And then the speaker looked at her and said, "What are you going to do about it?" And she said to herself, "Well, I can walk." And so that's what she did. And as she told that story, she looked at me when she said, "And what are you going to do about it?" And by that time, I think it had already been a couple years with several different grandmothers of many different nations posing that same question to me. So at a certain point, it's like drops in a bucket. It fills up and you're like, okay, it's time to make this choreography.
It's interesting to me that you, in your work, and I think it reflects a larger thing that's going on, so many different Indigenous people are coming together around the same themes, and they're basically themes of connection to the earth and respect for the earth and respect for each other.
Mm. Yes, I think, this is a prophecy year for many nations, including the Mayan nation, and it seems that one of the great teachings is when Indigenous people can sort of come from the desert to the people of the mountains, to the people of the waters, and discuss the, what are the common threads. And it often has to do with, like, care of the earth. But in order to get there, you sort of acknowledge the diversity of the circle. So, you know, it's a huge circle with many points on it, and everyone's got their responsibility for their perspective that they can see only from their side. So the rainforest people might be saying this, might be saying that. So we use the diversity as a way to find out about what are the things that are important to address, because there are many, many issues that are going on for all people and for all living creatures. So it's a way to sort of get together and, like I said, through diversity, acknowledge the most crucial issues of our time and move our songs and dances and artwork to express those realities.
And so then how do you take all of those big ideas and big world problems and experiences and then craft them into the kind of dances that you do having to do with water? The performance is called Walking at the Edge of Water.
Yeah, that's, it was like carrying this giant, gigantic, heavy bowl of water and all of these concerns about water. And part of it is believing that, in fact, dance is part of, you know, it's always been part of our functional ritual in order to express what's going on. And so part of it is a belief that we have the power to change things. In other words, the dance is not entertainment. It always has a sort of healing by nature. But in terms of how do we translate, you know, if we were going to translate an article that had facts and statistics, words are the best way to do that. So in some of the dances, you're going to see spoken word poetry and even like a rapping that'll be going on. But there's a deep ancestral memory that we invoke through our dance forms. So you can even let go of all of those things, and you'll find them by going back into the body. The body contains these memories. We are also 70% water, and we are also connected to all the different living beings on the planet, so we can try to access those in our movement from this sort of gut, visceral instinct.
So how many people do you have? And as you say, you incorporate other forms like spoken word and rap and percussion and all kinds of things. Give us like a sense of what it feels like and looks like.
You know, this is amazing. We have, I think it's going to be 22 artists that are all gathered, coming from as far away as Canada and New Zealand.
And all Indigenous people.
All Indigenous people. Some of the international guest artists have gotten special fellowships in order to come and join us because of the importance of the theme and the excitement of working with Indigenous people with such diversity like Dancing Earth always has. And what's been interesting to me is seeing how, you know, I was saying to you that dance is always a collaborative process because it's always music, costumes, and movement. But in this case, we're seeing that the dancers, the people that we're calling dancers, I'm just going to call them artists from now on, because they're basically very expressive people who are coming in, and like we were painting on the costumes, that's why my hands are all covered with paint.
Right.
And they are also musicians, they're also poets. So they're interdisciplinary, each of themselves. So when you walk into rehearsal, it's just this beautiful collage. You hear people sort of working on their poetry on one side and practicing their movements, and then some others on the side just like doing some martial arts and some breakdance, just sort of athletics, just keeping in shape about that, and other people singing. So it's I think, indicative of this Indigenous way of seeing the world, where all things are connected instead of separating them.
Which is so interesting, because I think that's the direction that science and Western thinking is going too, because there's a sense of, I was just reading a book about, it's called The Spine of the Continent, which is actually a Native American term for the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
And it's basically about how all wildlife is connected, and when you save the wolves, you're also saving the rivers and things like that. And that's something that I think is coming to be understood everywhere, even if it hasn't seeped into the general popular imagination yet.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of things that have been attributed to like beautiful Native mythology, and coming from the perspective that mythology is out of the imagination and that the imagination is not reality. So we take that same premise that mythology lives in memory and imagination because it is real. And in fact, a lot of science is now catching up with some of the truths that are held in these Native stories. They're told in story form so that we can remember them. And then there's different, they're sort of subtle. You might not quite get them at first, but then 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, you're like, oh, that's what it was about. Like I often talk about this idea of coming from the sky. And it's not true for all nations. Not everyone has that creation story, but I've heard that in several nations. And then it turns out that DNA now has proven that indeed all of carbon, all of life on Earth is made from carbon, and carbon comes from the heart of dying stars falling to Earth. And I think science has also said that all of the water on Earth has come from this giant, I can't even remember, let's call it a meteor, and it was containing water. So it was this gift from the skies that was brought to Earth millions and millions of years ago. And all of life comes from that. So thus we are all connected through water in this way. And it's a saying that you'll hear amongst Native people, we are all connected, all my relations.
Right.
And so these are more than just sayings. These are actual science and history that are, you know, embedded into worldview and people are catching up with.
And wisdom.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, we're talking to Rulan Tangen about Walking at the Edge of Water, which is a performance that's going to take place on September 28th and 29th. And it's also the kickoff of IAIA, Institute of American Indian Arts, 50th anniversary. And I'm so glad that you're going to be finally at the Lensic. Is this the first time you've performed there?
It's not the first time I've performed there, but it's the first time that the company has been invited to put on a full performance. So I think they opened maybe 12 years ago, and I performed on the stage. They were doing a sort of like mosaic of all the different dance forms that represented New Mexico. So I was on stage then, and then later with the Santa Fe Dance Festival. But this marks a sort of historic moment for us in our hometown to be invited onto the most prestigious, biggest stage in Santa Fe, and to be invited the same way guest companies are invited to come in, like Aspen, or, you know, I think... You know, just a lot of the amazing companies that have been in town, Bill T. Jones, Aspen Santa Fe Ballet, and indeed we're presented in that manner when we go to Arizona, Colorado, all, you know, Canada, we go all different places, but finally we're home at this amazing theater with amazing, I mean, Bob Martin's been a great mentor, kind of, you know, saying, hey, you're not ready yet, but here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And then when he said, okay, we're ready, I almost wept. You know, I worked so hard for this. And IIA is also instrumental, because it just, talk about perfect timing, I call it divine choreography. They're getting ready for their 50th anniversary, and performing arts was a legacy, it's part of their legacy. There's not any at the institution right now, but we're actually mentoring a number of IIA students, bringing them in on all different levels of production. And then I also have to mention Santa Fe Art Institute, because they're hosting all of these dancers in their dorms. And
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we've turned it into, like, that's where we've been painting, and, you know, they're cooking and they're dancing in the halls. And we couldn't do it without them, because, you know, we were thinking of everything, like, can we put them in tents? Can they all sleep in one hotel room? And we did that this summer. Believe me, it was a circus. So
that's crazy.
It's actually a little bit more professional to have them each, you know, at least, I think it's at least two in a room now instead of five.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to be doing some events also at the Santa Fe Art Institute. There's a workshop which is open to community members to explore local water issues through movement. So you're going to be basically what? Helping people improvise in dance movements?
I always open my workshops to people who are non-dancers, because there's even people in my company who didn't realize they were dancers until very recently. I think there's this innate movement that, you know, if you can walk, if you're lucky enough to be able to walk, there's some movement in you, and people feel very empowered when they can sort of just be in their body. I think that's why yoga is so popular right now. So it's inviting people to access that kind of expression through their bodies, and we'll also be using some drawing and some writing techniques, and then someone might be like, you know what, I want to just keep working on my drawing for the rest of this session. You know, I'm open to that too.
And that's Saturday and Sunday, the 8th and 9th of September from 4 to 7. And people can go to sfai.org or call Santa Fe Art Institute for more information on that. And you're also going to be giving a lecture, and there will be a reception the following Monday, the 10th of September, at 6 o'clock at Tipton Hall, where the Santa Fe Art Institute always has their lectures. So you'll be, what, giving us a preview? Or
I think what I'm going to do is talk about the creative process that is going to go into the work in the Lensic, because, like, it's been about 6 years of cultural research and all kinds of, you know, interesting stories that have tumbled through, and it's my chance to put those stories through words as opposed to through dance, and so people can get more sense of the background of what goes into making a work like this.
You said before, I often think about the fact that dance is so much a part of culture, but it becomes so much more real when you're doing it yourself, and it changes you more when you're doing it yourself than when you're sitting in a chair and watching it.
Yeah, I actually think that's one of the things I try to do with the dancing is, that's on stage is, like, we use breath a lot because there's an exchange of energy that happens, so amplifying that energy exchange. And sometimes when I leave really spectacular dance, I feel like, oh gosh, look what they can do. Like, it's about them and me. And I want people to look on stage and see these amazing movements, but feel like they could do them. So there's a sense of what's organic and natural to invite that into people, to invite us to be more alive in our bodies.
Did you look at a lot of water? Did you look at waterfalls and lakes and rivers and things like that when you were thinking about the choreography?
Yes, I did some of that. I was up in Nambe Falls this summer with my cousin, and we were putting our feet into the water and noticing how our weight would shift as the water would push against us. Also up in Canada, I was up in British Columbia by the ocean, and in Ontario by the Otonabe River, which means the heart that beats, or the river that runs like a beating heart. So I did some of that exploration out in nature, and then when the dancers came, we did a lot of our studio work outside the studio. We did our rehearsals outdoors, so we could start to bring in that sense of wind in the trees and the different sounds that come in. So definitely trying to experience nature through our bodies and share that with the audience. But I also looked at a lot of artwork. There's been, you were talking about how important it is in the Southwest. So many of our symbols that come from the idea of water. I mean, across many cultures, there's things that different symbol because of it being the source of life. So, like those symbols, sometimes we're interpreting those symbols and those patterns with our body, and it creates a very interesting choreographic formation, for example.
Very interesting. Rulan Tangen is choreographer, dancer, and artistic director of Dancing Earth, and Dancing Earth Indigenous Contemporary Dance Creations can be found on the web at dancingearth.org. They will be at the Lensic on the 28th and 29th of September, and at the Santa Fe Art Institute doing the various things that we talked about before that, sfai.org. And of course, for tickets, it's always 988-1234. Rulan, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.